Let's pray as we come to God's word. Father, we thank you that your word, thank you for your word which speaks to us. Thank you for the way in which your word encourages us, it teaches us, it equips us. Thank you that you speak to us through it each day. And Father, we pray that this morning by your Spirit, would you speak to us individually as well as corporately? Would we grow in love and delight of you? Open our ears, open our hearts to hear what you have to say. Convict us, encourage us. Lift our eyes to Jesus. And so we pray with the psalmist, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Right, good morning. We live in an age of fake news and misinformation. Technology is producing fake deep fakes, words being put into politicians' mouths in convincing but entirely fictional videos. And whether it's the truth of what's happening in the world or why the banks closed your bank account, it's harder than ever to discern what the truth is. I've got some quotes for you here this morning. Hopefully those will come up. Johnny, are you good for the quiz? On to the next one. And the next one. Lovely, good, super, great. I've got some quotes here. All of these quotes, some of them are true, some of them are false, and I'm going to see if you can work out which are the true ones. So let's have the first one up. Hands up if you think this is a genuine quote. So should come up on the screen. Boris Johnson, he's always good to do these things with. I have as much chance of becoming Prime Minister as being decapitated by a Frisbee. Put your hands up if you think that's true. About 50-50, it is true, he did say that. The next one, another great guy for doing this with, Donald Trump. Talking about Nigel Farage, he says, look at this man, he's the king of the UK. True? Who thinks it's true? Not quite as sure. It's actually false, he actually said he's the king of Europe. Let's go on to the man himself, Nigel Farage. He said, I love Europe. France is wonderful. Who thinks that's true? Not very many of you, but he did actually say that. However, it's quoted out of context. He said, I love Europe. Like, France is wonderful. It should be. We've subsidised it for 40 years. Liz Truss, Prime Minister for about the shortest period of time. I think there's a danger in politics of being too risk adverse. It's true. It is true. Let's see Donald Trump again. He's just so good. We can keep doing these. I tested positively towards negative. He's talking about his COVID test. It's true. That's exactly what he said when he was announcing his negative test for COVID. I tested positively towards negative. And finally, another one from Boris Johnson. We could do these all day, but we'll just do one more. Alton Towers is very much my kind of place. It's actually false. Most of you are right there. He said Peppa Pig World is very much my kind of place. Discerning truth from falsehood is hard. The internet's made it harder than ever. We know everything and we know nothing. Professor Sander van der Linden, that's a long name, isn't it? He's a University of Cambridge professor. He has said, this is a genuine quote, by the way, I should just clarify that. Misinformation is one of the biggest challenges facing democracy in the digital age. The rise of AI producing believable, completely fictitious information is only going to make it worse. But it's not a new problem. What is truth? said Pilate to Jesus 2,000 years ago. But we can go even further back, right to the beginning of the world. Because in Genesis 3, we read, "Now the snake was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat any fruit from the tree? You must not eat any.'" Sorry, I'll start again. "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Did God really say?" The seed of doubt, deception creeps in. The lie takes hold. God's truth set aside, and a new truth is born. The devil's always worked this way, tempting Jesus in the desert. Satan took the word of God and twisted it, distorting truth into a lie. Friends, discerning truth from fiction, fake news from truth, is not a new problem. It's an old one. It comes in many guises, but ultimately today, Satan still seeks to deceive each one of us by sowing seeds of doubt. Doubt of who God is, his character, his nature, his faithfulness. Doubt of who we are in him. We must discern what is true from what is not. And the answer to that problem is given here today. The answer to truth, to wisdom, to discernment. It's here in God's word, in the Bible, in God's scriptures. This is truth. And in the midst of uncertainty, in anxiety, in difficulty, we can be sure of this truth. And we can be strong and very courageous, as the passage brought us earlier. River crossers can be strong and courageous because we rely on what is true. River crossers prioritize God's word. But it's easy to forget the privilege and the beauty of God's word. We've actually been away this last week. We've been up to Keswick. Fortunately, the weather was better at the end of the week than at the start of the week. We've been reminded at the Keswick Convention of the joy of the refreshment of God's word. King David ended a poem of delight on God's word with these words. God's word, he talked about God's word. He says, "They're more precious than gold, more than pure gold, sweeter than honey from the honeycomb." The Israelites at this stage were told to enjoy the law of Moses, just the first five books of the Bible. We've got the privilege of all 66 books across the Old Testament, across the New. But in Psalm 119, it's a wonderful psalm. It goes on for 170 verses. I was going to read it this morning, and then I realized we need to have some lunchtime together. But it has in one verse, in verse 97, "Oh, how I love your law." One of us, how many of us this morning go, "Oh, how I love your law"? Now, I work with Christian solicitors, and they're lovely people, but I'm not quite sure that my first thing is to say, "Law, I love it. I delight in his promises," but his law? But all of Scripture, the Bible, whether it's in our hands or on our phones, the Bible has wonderful truth bearing into our lives. The truth of who God is. As we read through its pages, we see the truth of God's character, his love, his faithfulness, his goodness, his justice, his awesomeness, his holiness, and his nearness. We see the Ten Commandments, and we think of that as often as God's as law, which is much more than that, but it starts off with these words, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." Not a distant God, not a far-off God, but a God who intervenes first, who comes and rescues us, a holy God, but who lovingly rescues us. And so too in Scripture, we see the truth of who we are, who we were created to be, and the depths of our weakness and the depths of our failures and how far we've rebelled from God. But we also see the value that God has placed on us. We see how much he loves us, how much he has given for us, how much he wants us to return to him. Moses tells the people in Deuteronomy 7, before this, he says, "But for you are a people holy to the Lord. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession, because the Lord has loved you." How much more as we've been given the Lord Jesus himself, are we those who are chosen, who are treasured, the treasured possession of God? We see the truth in God's word of who we're being made to be, the identity that we have, who we're being called to be. In our culture, this culture around us struggles with identity. The culture around us struggles with purpose. Even Prince Harry's called his autobiography Spare. But in the word of God here, we find meaning. We find the truth of our identity. We find the truth of our purpose. We find what our lives are about and where they lead us. This, friends, the truth that we have been given in God's word to us. Don't turn to the right or to the left, but hold fast. Hold fast, because God's word is an unchanging and steady truth in a changing and unsteady world. I don't know if you've ever sat on a train, you'll have been at a platform at some point, and you know you're sitting there and another train starts pulling out and you wonder, am I moving or is it the other train that's going? Scientists have recently looked at fish. When they're swimming along, they look at the bottom of the river. And they do that because just like us on a train, with other trains moving around, as the water goes by and other fish go by, they're not sure, am I moving forward? Am I going backwards? Am I staying still? So they look at the riverbed. They look at the riverbed because the riverbed is constant. The riverbed doesn't change. And so too, we look at the word of God because the word of God doesn't change. The word of God is constant. The word of God is steady. And so that is our steadfastness. That is our constant. That's what we hold on to. The word of God, unchanging and steady in a changing and unsteady world. Sometimes it can be uncomfortable. Sometimes we don't always like what we read. Brett McCracken has written these words. We don't get to choose whether or not something is true. We don't invent truth. We don't determine it. We search it out and accept it with gratitude, even when it's at odds with our feelings or preferences. Because this is real world truth. This is truth revealed by the real eternal creator God who knows all things and we do not. I might not always understand, but I do know it's truth. Take hold of God's word. But River Crossers don't just take hold of God's word, they prioritize obeying it in full. In the reading we had earlier, it said, "Be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave you." The word of God isn't just true to inform us, to educate us. It should change us. The word of God, Hebrews says, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating to even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. Obedience isn't always easy, but it is the path to joy. Glennon Marshall writes these words, "Obedience to Christ's commands may not always begin with joy, but it ends with joy. Sin is deceitful. It deceives us with promises of good things, but it ensnares us. The promises turn out to be empty. The pay later cost, really high. We're missold." I find Psalm 73 really helpful in this. It's a really interesting psalm. If you want to know about quoting things out of context, you could take some of these verses, because it starts off with things like, "For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and I've washed my hands in innocence." I'm not sure you expected to see those words in the Bible, did you? And honestly, it feels like that sometimes. We try to live God's way, and the non-Christians, they seem to be getting the good stuff. But when we think like that, we've been deceived. We've been taken in by fake news. The psalm goes on, "If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children." When I tried to understand this, I was deeply troubled till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destination. You see, we need to be reminded, as Stephen brought to us a few weeks ago, that we are a people of the bigger picture, a bigger perspective people. We need to be brought back to eternal perspective, the truth found in the Bible. As Peter said to Jesus in John 6, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Sin is deceitful. Did God really say? But the Bible shows us truth, and his ways are good. I mean, over the course of my life, probably like you, my tastes have changed. When I was a child, I clearly had some dodgy tastes because I liked Watsits and I didn't like olives. I can tell you now that I've now learnt better and I don't like Watsits and I do like olives. But let me show you with an illustration that I picked up from Sam Albury this week. Raise your hand this morning if you like orange juice. Who here likes orange juice? That's a pretty good proportion of you now. Keep your hand up if you like orange juice after you've just brushed your teeth with toothpaste. Not quite so many of you. The orange juice hasn't changed, but our palate has. So too, when we become Christians, our spiritual palate changes. Sin's no longer as desirable to us. We want to do the right things. We still need to be guided to the right path. Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. It shows me where to go." And as we see all the way through the Bible, we see God's character, and we see how Jesus lives, and we want to live that way too. When we love somebody, we want to please them. Now, as some of you know, I've got a great little folding Brompton bike. I'm quite fond of it. It's really good. I've actually came here this morning on it. I come home from work, I fold it up, I come in, bring the bike inside. And I don't know what the difference is. But for Felicity, it's a really big deal. I then put it away. Now, I don't get why I can't just kind of do the kids or have my dinner and then put it away. But no, for Felicity, it's a really big deal that I put it away straight away. And thank you, Sheila. Felicity will be thanking you later. And while I don't always get it, I endeavour to do it. I do it because I love her and it's important to her. I love Jesus. I want to please him. I obey his word because it's important to him. Also, when we know something's good for us, we're more likely to do it. I quite like this graph up here, which I'm sorry if graphs take you back to school a little bit, but up here you can see thing over time, and when I suddenly discovered that I could cook bacon on my own and health plummeting down. I love bacon. I totally get this cartoon. But whether it's diet or exercise, we all do things or don't do things because it's good for us. And God, our maker, our creator, in his infinite wisdom, he's set out for us what, in his word, what is best for us. If I obey his word, that is what's good for me. And as I obey, I'll become more and more like Jesus. We all, it says in 2 Corinthians, we all with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory and are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that such a privilege? Can we not begin to say, "Oh, how I love your law. Which is all well and good, but you know, I get it wrong sometimes. Actually, quite a bit. Sam Albury, again, he says, progress in the Christian life isn't needing Jesus less. It's needing Jesus more. I thank the Lord that his mercies, they're new every morning, and each day we can find the truth of God's forgiveness. I love these wonderful words which Glenna Marshall's written. Whatever yesterday looked like, start over fresh tomorrow. Jesus isn't standing with his arms crossed and a disapproving glare. He loves you, and he has paid the penalty for your sins on the cross. When you make time with him as a priority, you'll be more and more certain of his love for you, even on those days when you feel like he doesn't show up. As you see your sin more readily, you'll grasp his grace more acutely. You'll remember his promises to sanctify you, and you will know with certainty that on one day you'll be with him forever, and nothing will deter or distract you from his glory. So, River Crossers, prioritize God's word by obeying his word. But we also keep his word on our lips. Our passage had, keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate upon it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. We can only take hold of the truth in God's word if we read it, if we absorb it, and if we know it. How much do you read God's word each day? And I don't say this to make you feel guilty, because you know what, it can be a struggle. You know, I struggle with it too. We all find it hard. But this is our daily bread. This is our spiritual nourishment. And if we're not feeding daily on God's word, we're starving ourselves of the nourishment of the daily bread that God has given us, of the truth of his word. Brett McCracken writes, the Bible is the most important source of wisdom because it's literally the wisdom of the eternal God, the standard and source of all truth, revealing himself. What a miraculous thing. And yet, sadly, many of us are bored by it. We're struggling to read it habitually, if at all. Our Bibles collect dust in a dark corner of the rooms while our Facebook feeds are constantly refreshed. When most of us start our days, myself included, we read emails and tweets before we read the Word of God. I saw this week this newspaper headline which said, we're fiddling with trivia as the world burns. And I thought, actually, this is a pretty apt description of many of us in the Christian life. We're in a world that desperately needs to hear God's truth, the world that desperately needs to hear God's offer of salvation through Jesus. And as the world burns, we're fiddling with trivia. I don't want to say that we can't enjoy the things of life, and God has given us many good things to enjoy, but we need to think about our priorities, the balance of our attention, where we actually spend the focus of things speaking into our lives. So let me encourage you, spend time daily in God's word. Ideally, don't do it on your phone where you can easily get distracted, but if you do, let me encourage you to at least put it into do not disturb so that you can focus on God's word. Spend time reading God's word and reflecting on it, meditating upon it, chewing over it. You know how your grandmother kind of always said to you, make sure you chew your food 20 times. Well, let's do that with God's word. Let's chew it over, chew your spiritual food before you swallow, reflect on it, meditate upon it. Pray that God would reveal himself. Ask his spirit to convict you. Pray that his word would change you, and pray in response to it. And maybe you're here this morning, maybe you're thinking, I've never read the Bible before, I don't know where to start. And if that's you, I'd love to encourage you to read a gospel. I've got some Gospels here of Luke's Gospel. I'd love to give you one after the service. It has Jesus' life. It's got all of Jesus' miracles and teaching, his death, his resurrection. It's a great place to start if you've never read the Bible before. It's not big. You can read it on your holiday. Read it on the beach. But if you've tried before, maybe you're somebody who has read the Bible before but fallen by the wayside. Well, let's just start again today. Let's just pick the Bible up this afternoon and start seeing what it has to say to us. You know, we've got a prayer team here this morning after the service. They would love to pray with you and say to God, please help you as you come back into his word to delight in it again. And I know you're busy. And I know your lives are full. I had wonderful encouragement from Tim Perkis recently. He was sharing with me about his Bible reading. You know, as you know, he's got a small baby, he's got a preschooler, he's got a busy job, he's got lots going on, and he's thinking, but I really want to read through the Bible. And you know what he's done? Well, he's taken God's Word on CD, or MP3 or whatever it is. He listens to it anyway. He listens to it in the car on the way into work. As he commutes through, he listens through and he reflects on it. And that way he's got through more of the Bible than probably most of us have without having a newborn at home and all those other commitments, because he's found a way to spend time in God's word. Felicity's been having difficulty sleeping this school year. Sleep has become really precious to her. But she's been getting up early before the kids are up so that she can spend time with God in his word, because she knows that that is more precious to her than that little bit of extra sleep. Maybe this morning you're just not sure where to get back in or what to read. Let me encourage you. There are some really great Bible notes and Bible reading plans available to you. They're good because they give you structure to do it daily. They give you things to help you read across all of Scripture, not just your favourite bits. They give you things to meditate on, to pray about. There are lots of free ones available, but I just encourage you to think. We're often happy to spend money on something like a Netflix subscription, but not on books and resources that will help us get to know the Word of God and things of eternal life. So let me encourage you to think about what good resources there are available to you. In our house, we're particular fans. As I said, there are lots out there. We're particular fans in our house of the daily Bible reading resources from the Good Book Company. They've got Explore Notes for adults. Our kids love their XTB. And as it happens, today, they actually have a 40% off sale. And so that's interest to you on their website. You can actually get 40% off those resources. But there are loads of other interesting ones around. I've got some daily undated daily Bible readings. I've got two with me. So if anybody wants one, grab me after the service. Or there are many more available to you. A couple of other just good resources I think it's worth just highlighting that are really useful. There's the Bible Project you can find online. They've got lots of free videos which just give you a quick overview of each book of the Bible. If you're starting to get into a book of the Bible, great resource to be able to get to know each book of the Bible. And if you want an overview of the whole Bible, there's a free video course which has been put online of God's big picture. It's based on a book that's been published, but the video course there is free online. A great overview of the whole of the Bible together. But however, whenever you choose to read it slowly, read it prayerfully, meditate upon it, chew upon it, that you can grasp its meaning and allow God to speak to you. And encourage one another in this. Encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. In your homes, over dinner tables, in community groups, on WhatsApp, and when we meet together, encourage each other. River Crossers take hold of God's word and obey it. River Crossers keep God's words on their lips and meditate upon it. But we do it because we know that it's truth. We know that it's truth because that enables us to obey it. It means that we know that it's worth obeying. We know that it's worth following. We know that it's worth keeping on our lips. And we know that it's true for many reasons. Let me just give you a few, though, because we can trust it because Jesus trusted it. Kevin DeYoung says, Jesus held Scripture, that's the Bible, in the highest possible esteem. He knew his Bible intimately and loved it deeply. He often spoke of the language of Scripture. He easily alluded to Scripture in moments of greatest trial and weakness, like being tempted by the devil or being killed on the cross. He quoted Scripture. Jesus loved the Bible. We know it's true also because it's historically accurate. It's based on the evidence of eyewitnesses. Sam Albury said of Jesus' life and ministry, his feet left footprints in the ground. His life, footprints in history. And 2 Peter says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." We can be confident of the truthfulness of God's word because it's God's word, not man's word. God who is faithful, God who does not lie. And we can be confident because God's spirit dwells in us and teaches us from his word. Jesus said, "When he, the spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth." And God's word, if it's true, if it's our benchmark for what is true in a world of untruth and fake news, then it should be the spirit level by which we test everything else. In Acts, we read, "Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." Test and discern what you hear. Test and discern what you read. When you listen to me speaking or anybody else, open your Bible, measure. Is this what the Bible says? Is this what the Bible says is true? When you hear someone compellingly talking about God, open your Bible. Is this what the Bible says is true? Because false news is convincing. False news would mislead you, but God says what is true. Did God really say? Well, let's open the Bible. So we take hold of God's word. We obey God's word. We keep it on our lips. We trust in its truth. And so we can have confidence. Confidence to be strong. Confidence to be courageous. Confidence rooted in the God of the Bible, his character, his power, his faithfulness, his promises, including the promises of Jesus that he'll be with us until the end of the age, that he'll give us his spirit, that he hears our prayers, that he'll return. They're all true. They're all in his word, which we can keep coming back to. And we can hold on to it and say, this is what God's word says. We sang earlier, "Your word, my hope, secures." Friends, do not be deceived. Hold on to what is true. Cling on to what is good. Because today we're in a battle for truth. So put on your armor, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We have the assurance of truth with the truth of our salvation guarding our minds, fighting the battle with the sword of the Spirit, God's word. Fight against the lies and deception of the devil. Make plain the truth that we hold fast to. You've been equipped for every good work. In every situation, all of Scripture, yes, even the bits you find harder, all of Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in correctness, that the man or woman of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. So, brothers and sisters, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Maybe this morning if you're feeling a bit discouraged, maybe you need courage. And the prayer team, who will be over to my right and your left at the front here this morning, would love to pray with you if you're feeling that way. But be strong in Jesus. Be strengthened by the truth of who he is and who you are in him. Take courage. Do not be afraid. Because you know to what he has called you. And the Lord promises to go with you wherever you go. As Philippians 2 reminds us, then you will shine as stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life.
Thank you, David. That's such a helpful reminder. The Lord gave me a poem to summarize what David has preached on this morning. So very, very briefly, your word, truth unchanged, unchanging, constant, firm foundation, steadfast and secure. Your word, healing to the nations, light into the darkness, and lamp unto my feet. And all that there is written remains and ever shall be. Life itself shall fade away. Your word alone endures. So living, energizing word, activate the people. Revolutionize our lives. And in our hearts be sealed.